This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, and by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra.
Crop insurance continues to be a valuable tool for farmers. Jasper County farmer Bill Michael remembers why he decided to purchase crop insurance coverage for his operation.
In 1983, we had a drought. Our corn averaged 15 bushels to acre. Soybeans averaged 20 bushels to acre. That's what opened my eyes to crop insurance. Ever since then, I've had crop insurance every year.
At Farm Credit Services of Illinois, we understand the value you place on working with a crop insurance provider that understands today's crop insurance options.
Farm Credit, the crop insurance agents have been very helpful. They're very knowledgeable in the different programs, different policies available. They're just a phone call away. If I have a question, I just make a call and the answer's there.
Call Farm Credit today at 800-444-FARM to discover more about a crop insurance plan to fit your farming operation.
Farm Credit has been a big help insurance-wise. They've been a very big help.
At Farm Credit Services of Illinois, we understand.
At Smokey Jennings Chevrolet, the 2012s are driving off the lot. With over 40 new Chevrolets sold in September, the selection is getting thin. Take the 2012 Corvette Grand Sport, stock number C385, or the 2012 four-wheel drive extended cab Silverado, stock number C343. Get the one you want at a great Smokey Jennings discount. Smokey Jennings Chevrolet in Palmyra, where they're not just about trucks, they're about community since 1946.
Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield is your headquarters for Firestone Farm Tires and Service. Taylor Tire, your authorized Firestone Tire dealer, is the place to call for all your Firestone Farm Tire needs. And when you need in-the-field service, the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto are trained, experienced, and they have the equipment to do the job right and on time. So when you need Firestone Farm Tires or in-the-field service, call the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto at the west end of Tyler Avenue in Litchfield.
And first of all, in the Farm Show on this Wednesday morning, an electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, December wheat trading at 866 and three quarter, up a dime. March wheat trading at 801 and a half, up 9 3/4. December corn trading at 746 and a half, up 4 3/4. March corn trading at 749, up 4 1/2. November soybeans trading at 1542 and a quarter, up 8 1/2. January beans trading at 1546, up 9 1/2. The overnight crude oil market, 71 cents higher at 86.39. The Brent crude, 61 cents higher at 109.69. The December gold contract, $6.90 higher at $1,719. And the U.S. dollar index, 0.193 lower at 79.744. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, December wheat ended at 856 and three quarter, down 1 1/4. March wheat ended at 871 and three quarter, down a penny. May wheat ended at 879, down 3/4. December corn ended at 741 and three quarter, up 4 3/4. March corn ended at 744 and a half, up 5 1/2. May corn ended at 741 and a half, up 5 1/2. November soybeans yesterday ended at 1533 and three quarter, up 6 1/2. January beans ended at 1536 and a half, up 6 3/4. March beans ended at 1510 and three quarter, that was up a nickel. December soybean meal yesterday ended at $476, up 35. January meal, $469.70, up 29. March meal, $457.60, up 28. December soybean oil yesterday ended at $50.09, down 9. January oil, $50.45, down 8. March oil, $50.88, down 9. And December oats yesterday ended at $3.88 and three quarter, up a penny. And March oats ended at $3.96 and three quarter, up 2 3/4. Right now we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the cash grain report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday's grain market report. The Illinois country grain prices ended mixed on Tuesday afternoon, with corn and soybean futures higher and wheat slightly lower. Export interest increased for corn and soybeans, helping to lift prices. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 3 to 6 cents stronger at 719 to 737, and soybean bids were up 6 to 9 cents at 1501 to 1513. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mostly 3 to 5 higher at 731 to 748, and soybean bids were up 4 to 7 cents at 1518 to 1528. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mostly 3 to 5 higher at 709 to 752, soybean bids were 6 to 10 cents higher at 1507 to 1524, while the wheat bids were down 6 to 8 cents at 820 to 842. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 6 to 10 cents stronger on Tuesday at 1542 to 1552. Basis ended steady to 3 cents stronger at 8 to 18 over November. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis gained $3.50 to $5.50 per ton today, ranging from 488 to 496. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids gained a nickel up to 742 to 757, with basis ending steady at option to 15 over December. Dry distiller grains today ended steady, ranging from 265 to 280 per ton. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 3 to 9 cents higher at 729 to 737, with basis ending mixed at 13 to 5 under December. Soybean bids were up 3 to 7 cents at 1535 to 1541, with basis also mixed today ranged from 1 to 7 over November. And wheat bids for July 13 delivery gained 6 to 10 cents at 833 to 838, with basis steady to 4 cents stronger at 35 to 30 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids steady to 10 cents higher at 712 to 736. These same elevators raise their soybean prices by 15 to 17 cents with quotations at 1534 to 1541. Soft red winter wheat up 4 at 841 to 842 and the Milo and nickel higher at 711 to 712. Contract bids to producers for January delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Bids to country from country elevators to producers for January corn range from 724 to 748, January bean bids at 1507 to 1523. In central Illinois, January corn bids 738 to 760, January soybean bids at 1525 to 1544, and in the southern part of the state, Jan corn range from 731 up to 771, January soybean bids at 1520 to 1554. And wheat bids for July 13 in southern Illinois, those range from 812 up to 838. That is our country grain report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, December hogs ended at 78.10, up 30. February hogs ended at 83.87, up 62. April hogs ended at 89.90, up 40. October cattle yesterday ended at 125.90, up 52. December cattle, 126.20, up 92. February cattle, 129.80, up 55. November feeder cattle yesterday ended at 147.05, up $1.12. January feeders, 149.50, up 202. March feeders ended at 150.162, up $1.97. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday afternoon's Livestock Report. And first of all, in the Eastern Corn Belt on Tuesday afternoon, barrels and gills traded $1.50 lower. The base price for a 200-pound pork carcass ranged from $72 up to $81, with a weighted average carcass price of $79.67. From the Illinois Direct Slaughter Sow and Boar Report on Tuesday, slaughter sows traded steady to a dollar lower with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. grade 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds range from 42 to 45, 4 to 500 pound sows at 44 to 50, 5 to 550s at $47 to $52, and heavyweight sows over 550 pounds range from $48 to $53. Lightweight boars under 300 pounds at $30 to $35, and heavyweight boars over 300 pounds range from $10 to $16. In the Illinois direct trade on Tuesday, barrels and gilts at the country buying points traded $1 to $2 lower. U.S. 1 and 3 grades weighing 220 to 290 traded at $54 to $58. And movement of Illinois hogs today totaled 12,539 head. in the livestock trading in Illinois on Tuesday. The opening report from the United Producers Auction at Shelbyville. Early estimated receipts totaled 407 head, and the slaughter steers range from 122 to 128. That is $1 to $2 higher from last week. Slaughter heifers, they range from 122.50 up to 125, with the slaughter Holstein steers, choice twos and threes, at 114 to 118.25. From the National Carlisle Pork Report at the close on Tuesday, trading was moderate today as 134 loads traded. The fresh quarter-inch trim loins were weak to a dollar lower, while the Boston butts ended unevenly steady. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass ended 46 cents lower for the day, closing at 84.80. And on the national box beef cutout values on Tuesday, those prices ended mixed. The choice carcasses weighing 600 to 900 pounds increased 67 cents up to 198.17, while select carcasses ended $1.20 lower, closing at 177.88. And on the estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection on Tuesday, cattle slaughter estimated at 125,000 head. That compares to 127 last week and 130,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter lower today than normal at 420,000 head. That compares to 434 last week and 431,000 a year ago. Also today, we have a recap of the weekly hay auction at Arthur, Illinois, and compared to last week, small squares of alfalfa and alfalfa mixed hay traded a dollar higher, with grass hay up $2, wheat straw mostly steady. Receipts for the auction this week totaled 1,252 bales. Alfalfa premium quality small squares range from $7 up to $9.50, with some good quality small squares at $6.10. Alfalfa orchard grass mix premium quality small squares range from $6.75 to $7. Mixed grass hay good quality small squares at $5.50 to $7.75 per bale, with some large rounds 5x5s at $85 per bale. Had some fair quality small squares of mixed grass at $2.75 to $3, and some large rounds 5x5s at $50 up to $75. And wheat straw, good quality small squares range from $1.75 up to $2.50. Some large squares of straw, the 3x3s at $25, and some fair quality wheat straw, large rounds, the 5x5s, sold at $12 per bale. That concludes our livestock report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday: for butter, $1.89 unchanged; for block cheese, $2.11 unchanged; for barrel cheese, $2.02.5 down 2.5; and the spot price for Class 3 milk ending yesterday, $21.05. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for October, $7.30; for January, $7.42. Corn delivered to Scottville for October, $7.30; for January, $7.35. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for October, $15.13; for January, $15.48. And wheat delivered to Scottville for October, $8.05. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Once again, the pre-opening prices: corn at Greenfield, $7.30; corn at Scottville, $7.30; beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $15.13; and wheat at Scottville, $8.05. And that's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Wednesday morning. Color radar shows no precipitation in the Mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
Get more from every acre by using Micro Essentials fertilizer with patented Fusion technology. Only Micro Essentials combines vital nutrients in one uniquely formulated, nutritionally balanced granule, creating a single source for balanced crop nutrition. The unique chemistry of Micro Essentials ensures optimum nutrient distribution and that all-important nutrient uptake for increased yields across every acre.
M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
And across Mid-Illinois for today, sunny skies, high temperatures in the low 50s. We will have northwest winds at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear, low temperatures in the low 30s. And for tomorrow, Thursday, partly cloudy, the high about 60. And your extended forecast for Friday through Sunday: partly cloudy, a slight chance of showers on Saturday, low temperatures in the low 40s, highs in the mid-50s. Right now, we have mostly clear skies, 33 degrees at the Weather Center. Time now for part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. First of all, in our farm news today, Rita Frazier of the Illinois Farm Bureau was in Indianapolis last week for the National FFA Convention, and she talked to members of the Litchfield chapter.
We're at the National FFA Convention with members of the Litchfield FFA. Nautica Bowne joins us. Nautica, love your name. It's beautiful. Why did you join the FFA?
Well, why did I join the FFA? Well, I moved from the city, so when I came here, I didn't really know what FFA was because we didn't have a program. So I signed up for it because I know a lot of my friends were signing up for it, and it was one of the best choices I've ever made because the agriculture experience is just the best.
And what about this convention? What has it been like?
It's been awesome to just be around a bunch of other people that enjoy being in agriculture and just experiencing it like I do.
You have some thoughts on what your record book will be?
I want to work with flowers, so something with horticulture, that'd be nice. I'd like it, yeah.
And you have high hopes maybe to be an officer too one day?
Yes. I want to earn my state degree, and I want to be an officer.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Good luck to you. We also have with us Caitlin Durston, who is also a sophomore with the chapter. Caitlin, why did you join the FFA?
Well, I had an ag class in seventh grade, and from then on I had a passion for the plants and the animal science that was included with everything. Then when I got to my freshman year, I saw all the experience that the older kids were able to do, like the National Convention trip. And, well, I signed my name up, and I was pretty nervous, but I'm in love with all the contests, and it's a really big passion of mine. I would like to do it in college.
What about your record book? What would you think you might be interested in as far as your individual SAE?
I might actually do a garden and sell, like, vegetables, and I might do flowers and sell them at the farmer's market uptown at Library Park. And I think that's it.
Well, you're a delight. Also, officer, are you thinking that way, maybe?
Actually, yes, I would love to be an officer because of all the experience and all the people that they get to talk to and meet.
Thank you. We also have Sharon Boucher with us. And Sharon, your last name looks familiar, so you probably have other family members that have been FFA members?
My older sister was.
And why did you join?
My older sister was in it, and I had a class in eighth grade, and I wanted to be able to go to all the contests and everything, and it just looked really fun.
How about your record book? Do you have some idea of what you want to keep a record on?
I really don't know yet. I want to be a vet when I grow up, so it'll probably be something to do with that.
Excellent. Thank you, Sharon.
Good.
We also have with us Allison Hurd. And Allison, you already know what you want to keep your record book on.
Yes, I'm going to do them on white and brown leghorn chickens at my, like, small farm at my house.
That sounds like a really exciting area.
Yes, we already raised bantam chickens, but their eggs are, like, too small to sell, so we're going to start with white leghorns.
And what are your hopes? Are you going to be selling locally, or what are your hopes?
I hope to sell locally, and maybe someday I'll own my own, like, chicken farm, and that'd be actually really cool.
Like, so you really like it?
Yes, I do. I like chickens a lot.
So why did you join the FFA?
At first, I joined the FFA because all my friends are joining it, and everyone's like, oh, it's really fun, and it's exciting. And then once I got freshman year, and we started going to contests, and I started to win, I really liked it, and something I was really good at, and it just, like, you know, you find a place to fit in, and that was, like, the place to fit in for me.
What about your individual goals? Would you like to be an officer with the FFA?
Yes, I would. I also want to earn my state degree.
Excellent. Members of the Litchfield FFA chapter, their advisor is Thomas Martin. And Thomas, your first year attending this convention as an advisor, how is it?
Well, it's different from being a student or being a college student here out trying to recruit. Definitely a lot more responsibility, making sure that the students not only have an educational time and inspirational time, but also a fun time. Trying to blend all those things together, get them some experiences that you can't necessarily do in the classroom or right in the Litchfield area, making sure that they understand how big this organization is and the opportunities for them in agriculture, not just farming, but in agriculture as a whole. And even if they don't go into agriculture, understanding those opportunities that leadership and service work will bring them.
You know from personal experience how this convention can change your life.
Oh, yes. I mean, I still remember the first time coming to Indianapolis. In fact, it was the first year that they had the convention in Indianapolis. And now, my first time as an advisor, it's the last year that we're having in Indianapolis for a few years. So you know, it's been a lot of fun, a lot of experiences here that have kind of helped build this up to be such a great convention for our students here at Litchfield.
And we talked to you right before you started the school year. Obviously a big job starting a chapter or starting your first year. How's it going?
Well, actually some of the students that we had interviewed have competed in our horse judging contest. They got fourth place down at Edwardsville. We've hosted the section land use contest. It's right up at the 108 exit, the Carlinville exit. And had our students do very well there too. We got fourth place. And we also competed in our county soils contest. Now we've got our eyes set on Green Hand Quiz Bowl for our freshmen. We got with these sophomores, I'm planning on doing a pretty hard agronomy unit. And then we're also maybe going to do ag sales, not sure yet, but looking forward to some more contests coming up here. And maybe just for fun, do a dairy foods. We went to Marcoot Creamery yesterday down in Greenville and had a lot of good time there, some delicious cheese, and I think that the students would enjoy a dairy foods contest.
Excellent. I know you're going to have a great year, and you probably already got a lot of support from the community, friends in the area.
Oh, Litchfield is a wonderful community, very supportive faculty, administration, parents, community, and the students are great too. Just everything comes together there, great resources, really a great place to be.
Thomas Martin and members of his Litchfield FFA here at the 85th National FFA Convention. Reporting for WSMI, I'm Rita Frazier.
Thank you, Rita. And it's coming up on 6:30 on this Wednesday morning. On Tuesday, we talked to Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions. He mentioned overseas grain sales, and I asked him about inventories to cover any such sales.
Well, that's right, and that's where the market has to do its job of rationing, and that gets back to the question, will the futures do the rationing or the cash markets do that? And much like we saw last year with our tight old crop supply, it seemed like futures didn't want to get much above that $8 mark. It didn't seem like anyone wanted to buy it up there. Past that, the basis had to do a lot of the work, and that's already been very apparent here so far. As harvest concludes, we're seeing basis levels very strong. They have eased a little bit in the last week or so, but I got to imagine a lot of these elevators, ethanol facilities, whoever it might be, whatever end user you are, if you don't get grain here right after harvest when you know, a lot of grain is still moving before the end of the year, I would imagine a lot of these bin doors are going to be buttoned up pretty tight until next spring or summer, and they're really going to have to bid up to get it out of the farmer's hands.
And that's going to hurt livestock producers domestically too, right?
Absolutely, especially with the protein shortage that we're seeing. You know, with all the aflatoxin corn out there, some of these DDGs cannot be sold if the levels are too high. So that is all but taken off of the market in that sense. And on top of it, you know, we're starting to see ethanol margins become a little bit more negative now. Near term, is that a problem right away? No, but you know, maybe we have a little bit of a production gap here towards the end of the year. And with less being produced with the good corn, you just have less DDGs. And that has related to a little bit of strength in the soy meal market because we just need the protein out there. And someone's going to have to buy it ultimately. But again, that gets back to rationing that demand.
There's also been talk of upping the percentages in the ethanol blends. Is that going to be a factor later on too?
I think it very well could be. I think they're going to try to keep a lid on that for as long as possible until we can maybe have a better sense of what next year might look like. So if there's any major changes on that, I guess in my personal opinion, that might be delayed until you know, maybe the second quarter of 2013. I don't think anyone wants to send this market into any more of a tizzy than we've already seen, especially after production problems and, like you said earlier, the uncertainty on whether or not we're going to have the inventory to really fill all of our domestic needs.
Well, another thing, too, I mean, if they're not going to know until the next quarter, there's still not going to be the inventory there at that time, is there?
It's hard to say. You know, we're going to know a little bit more on this next supply and demand report as far as the yield's concerned. They can, you know, they do have the ability to adjust acres on this report. We actually saw an increase in the corn acres on the last one based on some of the FSA data numbers they were looking at on acres. I can't imagine they're going to adjust that acreage number too much here in this next report. I think we're going to have to wait until January to do that. By and large, most people are expecting still an acreage cut, particularly in the corn. Most are expecting a little bit of an increase in the bean yield, but also on the back end of that, an increase in that demand. So the acreage number could be a big mystery. And after we get past this report, you know, we're not going to have a lot of information to feed off of. We're going to be tied to the outside markets primarily. There is no supply and demand report in December. The next big piece of information we'll look at will be January, and that's when we'll get our December stocks and also our quote, final production numbers for 2012.
And that was Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions. In other farm news this morning, in the early 2000s, the Atkins diet helped sell a lot of beef. Now, it turns out the high-protein, low-carb diet could help prevent the onset of cognitive impairment in older people. not just weight loss. This is according to a study by researchers at the Mayo Clinic who tracked and evaluated more than 1,200 people between the age of 70 and 89, noting their dietary habits. They then identified 940 participants with no sign of cognitive impairment at the beginning of the study and watched them for 4 years. Once that time passed, 200 participants showed signs of mild cognitive impairment. Those with the highest carbohydrate intake at the beginning of the study were nearly 2 times more likely to develop mild cognitive impairment than those with the lowest intake. Those with the highest intake of protein were 21% less likely to exhibit cognitive impairment. Even with these results, though, researchers stress the importance of a healthy diet with a good balance of protein, carbs, and fat, because each has an important role in the body. Antique horse-drawn plows and antique tractors will take center stage this weekend at the Jim Gum Farm south of Galesburg. This is the 4th year the Spoon River Antique Tractor Association and Innes Farm R&R have presented the event. It will be from 10 until 4 on Saturday and Sunday. Innes said there are usually 30 to 40 antique tractors and about 15 to 25 horses. Right now we're going to announce the winners of our pork certificate giveaway. Thanks to the Illinois pork producers, we have a number of tickets to give away. But we miscounted. We originally thought we were going to have 5 winners, but they sent us more pork certificates than we first thought. So we have 7 winners here of $20 worth of pork certificates. They include Jay DeWerf of Nokomis, Paul Laux of Hillsboro, Beth Young of Carlinville, Kathy Krieger of Walshville, Tammy Felensenko of Mount Olive, Janita Lemon of Butler, and Judy Thorin of Raymond. And those folks will receive their certificates in the mail in a day or two. So once again, congratulations to our pork certificate winners and many thanks to the Illinois Pork Producers Association for providing the pork certificates. And once again, the winners, Jay DeWerf of Nokomis, Beth Young of Carlinville, Paul Laux of Hillsboro, Kathy Krieger of Walshville, Tammy Senko of Mount Olive, Jonita Lemon of Butler, and Judy Thorin of Raymond. It's 6:36 on this Wednesday morning from FM 106. And once again, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, December wheat is trading at 866.5, up 9.75. March wheat trading at 881, up 9.25. December corn now trading at 746.25, up 4.5. March corn trading at 749, up 4.5. November soybeans now trading at 1542.5, up 8.75. January beans trading at 1546.25, up 9.75. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau.